This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to the next story, it's the time of day again for our 101 segment. It's something new that we are rolling out, where every month we take a close look at one particular subject by approaching it from multiple perspectives. If you missed the show yesterday, our topic this week is on single-use plastics. Yesterday, we looked at the issue from the point of view of consumers. We spoke with patrons and vendors at a wet market who agreed that it's better to use fewer plastic bags because of the environmental impact and also because biodegradable bags are expensive. We also spoke with Mageswari Sangaralingam, Research Officer at Consumers Association of Penang, who called for a reduction in our use and production of plastics.
The plastic we use, most of it ends up in landfills, in our waterways, burnt or incinerated. This also causes environmental and health problems. Hence, the issue of single-use plastics is of concern to us. We feel that the only solution to plastic pollution is producing less plastic, and consumers should be using less plastic also.
If you missed it, you can download the podcast for yesterday's segment on Spotify or on our BFM app. And today we'll be speaking with someone from the plastics manufacturing industry. Now we have on the line Dato' Lim Kok Boon, President of the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association. Thanks so much for joining us. So single-use plastics are now being seen as an enemy of the environment. Malaysia is also moving towards a ban of single-use plastics by 2030. But the key argument that's put forth by the plastics industry is that humans can't do away with single-use plastics. Could you elaborate on that point of view for us?
Yeah, I suppose when we use the word you can't live without it, it's because that's truly the situation. I think single-use plastics, or what we call SUP, has proven to be very useful, very functional, and therefore very necessary. I think if you look at our modern way of life, is that we need food. And one of the key things about SUP is that it's used to pack food. So if you do away with SUPs, then we have this problem of how do you get food from farm to table. That's a huge problem. And at this point in time, there is no viable alternative other than to go back to the days where we wrap food in newspapers or in some other things, which is not possible now because with the modern life that we have, the farm, which is the source of food, is far away from the point of consumption, which is people who live in the city. So you need to pack the food. And SUP, the largest proportion of SUP is in the form of food packaging. So I think that's something that we have to accept, that we can't live without it.
But there's no denying that single-use plastics represent a huge problem for our environment and the oceans. Can you see the value of those arguments? Have they changed how you think about your industry?
Okay, now, there is no denying, and I'll be the first to accept that, yes, any single-use plastic that lands up in the drain and get washed into the river and eventually to the ocean is a problem. It is a huge problem that we do not deny. But then we have to go back to the source of the problem. The root of the problem is that, is it the material that is causing the problem, or is it because somebody takes do not have the courtesy or the cultural sense to not litter? So if you look at it, it's not the material that's causing the problem, but it's actually mismanaged waste. Mismanaged waste includes all types of waste and, of course, includes plastics, single-use plastics. So the material is being blamed for it when we should look at it as the cause of it is due to littering. One good reference to think about is in Japan. Now, Japan uses a lot of SUPs. Believe me, they use a lot of SUPs. You go around, you see lots of vending machines. But we don't see SUPs to be a problem in that country simply because they do not litter and they consistently practice the 3 hours of reduce, reuse, and recycle. So I think looking at it, there's a need for everyone, including the plastic industry, of course, to work together to prevent the leakages of wastage into the waterways and into the ocean.
Okay, but preventing littering won't help another part of the problem, which is the fact that we're using resources to make those plastics. What's your solution?
Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves is that, is there a viable alternative to plastics? At this point in time, the reality of it is that there is no alternative to plastics. Any other material that is used would have a much higher carbon footprint. If you look at the report done by the Environmental Agency of the UK, as well as a report done by the Ministry of Environment of Denmark, both countries who are very particular about environment, the science has shown that plastic bag has the lowest carbon footprint among any other types of material. If I were to give you a plastic bag versus a cotton bag, the first reaction is that the cotton bag is green and it must be the best. But if you look at the report done by the EA, Environment Agency of the UK, they have actually seen that the global warming potential, or GWP, of a plastic bag that is reused only once, that means from the supermarket, you go back, you reuse it as a bin liner, the global warming potential of this plastic bag compared to a cotton bag is such that a cotton bag has to be reused a staggering 327 times before it has the same GWP as a plastic bag. So what it means is that, yes, there is a lot of talk about ban plastic bags, ban plastic materials, and switch to something else. But what it means is that when you switch to any other material, you may see plastic bags disappearing, or you may see single-use plastic bags, single-use plastics disappearing, but in place of it would be a material that has got a much higher carbon footprint, which basically means that it will impact climate change adversely. And climate change is the one that is causing havoc to global weather, and in turn, it has caused widespread flooding, widespread drought. It has resulted in food shortages, houses being destroyed, land being burned, and so on and so forth. So we have to consider that point, that when we want to do something and change something, we have to compare it based on science rather than just saying that I want to switch from A to B without understanding the implications on a holistic manner.
Is the plastics industry doing anything to innovate and create plastics that are better for the environment, perhaps more recyclable?
Okay, now, we do recognize that certain types of plastics are easy to recycle. For instance, plastic bags are easy to recycle because it's made out of material known as HDPE, or high-density polyethylene. It's only one type of plastics. A mineral water bottle uses a material known as PET, or polyethylene terephthalate. So these are what you call single substrate. So if you collect plastic bags by itself, put it together and recycle, you can do that. PET bottles by itself, you can do that. But in certain cases, we need to combine different type of materials. If you have fisherman's friend, for instance, you'll find that there is a layer of plastics with a paper laminate. Tetra Pak has got paper, aluminium, and plastics laminated. Unfortunately, while it allows very good barrier properties to preserve to keep the food fresh, it is a nightmare to recycle. So that's the point that I'm trying to say, is that what can we do to allow recycling of laminates with multiple substrates? There has been recent development where it is possible to do lamination with the same type of substrate or plastic, that means PE to PE or something else to something else. That means that it's a single type of plastics that can be recycled at the end of use. Or the other one is a recent development is on new changes in chemical recycling, which breaks down different type of plastics to its original monomer, which then can be recombined to form plastics or to form something else. So these are new developments that will see a change, but it is still on a plastic-to-plastic basis. But it will facilitate the move towards more recycling and the circular economy.
How do you solve the problem where the quality of plastics often drop after each time it gets recycled?
It does drop after that. You cannot recycle plastics, say, indefinitely. Yes, that's true. But you can actually, in the case of chemical recycling, the quality of plastics do not drop, because what happens is that plastics that we see is a polymer. It's made out of monomer that is combined together to form polymer. Now, in chemical recycling, you break down the polymer back to monomer. By recombining the monomer, you can reuse it as many times as you want. So this is something that is being developed quite extensively. We hope to see more progress in this area.
And what about biodegradable plastics?
Okay. Now, one of the reasons there has been a bit of a clamor to say that biodegradable plastics must be used to replace conventional fossil fuel-based plastics because that is a solution to marine litter. Now, this perception is based on the perception that bioplastics, when it goes into the ocean, will not be a problem because it will biodegrade. Unfortunately, this is far from the truth. Now, it would not be fair for me to make a statement without referring to an authoritative body like the UNEP or the United Nations Environment Programme. They have actually stated very clearly in the recent document, which says that bioplastics will not degrade in the ocean simply because you need very, very high temperature that is way beyond normal ocean temperature. Let me read something which is very, very clear. Often biodegradable plastic items, including single-use plastic bags and containers, break down completely only if exposed to prolonged high temperatures above 50 degrees Celsius. Such conditions are very rare in the environment and especially not in the ocean. So what it means is that if there is a shift to bioplastics with the intention and hope that it would solve the marine litter problem, the sad truth is that it will not, simply because it will not biodegrade in the ocean. So what it means is that the consumers will be burdened by having to use bioplastics at a cost that is many times more than conventional plastics, only to see these bioplastics go into the ocean and not achieve what is the original intention. That's one. Second one is that bioplastics cannot meet the functional requirements that is required in packaging of many things, including food. So what it means is that if you use bioplastics to pack food, the food will spoil and the shelf lives will be greatly reduced, which means that it's not going to result in consumers having food on the table the way that we have it now. So bioplastics can be used for certain applications, but it is not a replacement or an alternative to single-use plastics that we have now.
And as the environmental cause gets louder and louder, with the rhetoric that we need to reduce our use of plastics instead of depending on recycling, how is the plastic industry going to adapt?
I think this already has happened over the years. For instance, some of the films that is used for food packaging has been enhanced in such a way that a film that used to be 23 micron in terms of thickness can now come down to as low as about 8 to 6 micron. So there has been a huge reduction simply because what has happened is that within the industry, there has been development to make plastics lighter yet stronger. So in a way, you are actually getting more with less, and the carbon footprint has actually improved very much, and it has resulted in less plastics being used. Just to give you a very simple example, you may not see it here so much in Malaysia, but you know, those days, mineral water bottle in the US tend to have very thick wall. So the reason is not because you need a very thick wall to have the water not leaking out. It's because when you stack cartons of mineral water bottles on top of each other, it will collapse. So what has happened now is that before they seal a mineral water bottle with a cap, they will pump in nitrogen. Now, by pumping in nitrogen, it makes the bottle a bit more stiffer. So by doing so, they are able now to reduce the thickness of the this mineral water bottle, the PET bottle, to much lower than what it used to be. So there's a lot of saving there that the public consumer may not realize, both in terms of savings and benefits to the environment and also savings in terms of cost to the consumer.
Dato' Lim, thanks so much for sharing your perspective. That was Dato' Lim Kok Boon, President of the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association. And just before we move on to the next thing, to our Muslim listeners, it is now 7:20 p.m. Selamat berbuka puasa. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the marine impact of single-use plastics, so stay tuned for that. And if you stay on the evening edition, later it'll be Skip Intro, where we will be taking a look at The Wandering Earth. It's a Chinese epic sci-fi. It's really quite a good watch, so stay tuned for our review. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.